Tim, welcome back to the studios. You guys have been on a long road trip.
We are back and ready to get back to work managing the fisheries.
And management is something that you will be doing here in the next, roughly 2 month period of time, because there's funding back for state management of the largest herring fishery in the state.
That's correct. We have a budget of $61,000 now, so that's going to give us money to do aerial surveys and money to do the sampling that we need to do to build our model. We use an age-structured model, and in order for that model to work, you have to have information on the age and size of the fish that are harvested. Typically do about 5,000 samples a year, and last year we had no money for that at all, and the only money we had for aerial surveys was money that the processors donated to us, basically.
So on the research side and for future management, this is important, this is key.
This is very key, because we can't, without the information, we can't forecast the next year's return, and that makes us have to be much more conservative. The quota this year is down in large part because we had no data to work
with. Last year.
And so we had to come up with a new way of forecasting because we couldn't use our model. You know, previously we used our age structure model, and we would use, based on that, we could do a forecast. And since we didn't have that data, I think we took the average over the last, since the 80s or something, the last 30 years of the average return, and that was what we came up with for a number.
Down by 10% or something.
Yeah, it was certainly less than, which you'd expect it to be less than what you were doing, because you don't have any new data.
Okay.
So you can't make it go higher without data, you can only make it go lower.
Okay. The exploitation, some 26,000 tons to be taken, is still very large, much larger than Sitka Sound, which is underway this week.
Right.
What's our participation this year?
Well, I just talked to processors yesterday and the day before, and it looks like we're going to have, I think, 19 seine boats and 16 gill netters. So we're going to have
16.
Last year we only had 3 gill netters, so we're going to have 16 gill netters. I'm hearing rumors of $100 to $150 a ton. So the price is back up, and that's bringing gill netters back into the fishery and making it so that it's more of a viable option for folks.
That's good news.
That is good news.
Next tricky part will be timing. Last year was a record early run by a substantial number of days. I think 10 was the official count or something. And
right.
Only spotted in time because somebody happened to be out keeping a close eye because Fish and Game's management had been cut. You folks are looking at the sea surface temperatures out in the Pribilofs and those areas. What's been brought to my attention is they're not that much different right now than they were last year, but we have more sea ice along the coast than we did. What do you know?
Well, our research guy in Anchorage, Greg Buck, he has a couple different models, and one of them was based on sea ice coverage. And that one, like you say, is similar to last year because it's the offshore extent of sea ice. And there's lots of sea ice inshore, but not so much offshore. So that model didn't really work out to project much. But the sea surface temperature model that model is projecting that we should see fish May 4th and first spawn May 5th. So, you know, somewhere in that first week of May, maybe late first week, early second week of May, we should maybe have a fishery. That being said, that's what the model projects. But what happens between now and then temperature-wise can shift that probably a week either way. So if we keep having these cold nights with minus temperatures, that's going to make ice and not get rid of ice. If we have some big storms from the south that blow in warmer water and break up the ice, that could move things earlier.
I would suspect Fish and Game and the fleet and the processors will be ready for an early start after last year being caught so flat-footed there. But May sounds probably a lot better for most of the industry.
Yeah, May is probably better, especially with, you know, people needing to bring barges in to bring equipment and fiber and whatever. So if the barges can't get here, that really hurts their ability to get things ready. And that's a critical part of the whole deal is being able to process the fish that are harvested.
Right. One more question. I know it's not Fish and Game's wheelhouse to worry too much about this, but do you have any sense of how the market looks this year?
I've talked to one processor, and they were thinking 100 to 150. I know you heard that separately, although somebody from the same processor. But then there was an article that said that there's 10% more Kozunoko. Kozunoko is one of the product forms of herring roe. 10% more carryover in Japan than there has been. So they're still at kind of historic high levels of herring roe.
We'll have more to talk about when we get closer to the fishery, which on last year's calendar could be a few short weeks away, but more likely six or so here, according to recent sea surface temperature looks. Tim Sands, area management biologist, back in the office and willing to take your calls and in-person visits. And thanks for coming by, as always.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Dave. And, yeah, absolutely, come by just to visit, or if you have some big pressing question, I'm here.